Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
We began a series on the kingdom of God, beginning with one entitled First Things First. The idea behind this message was, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to us as well. But the other side of this title was the thought that this is the first message that Jesus actually preached. Behold, the kingdom of God is near. Further in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Notice where it says that's what he kept preaching and traveling all over the place, and as well demonstrating the healing power of the kingdom, as many who had diseases and sicknesses among the people were healed. Now it says in chapter 5 verse 1, the continuation of this story, Jesus went and saw the crowds. Because of all the healing power that was demonstrated, people from all over the place came to see him. And he went up a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him. He said, and began to teach, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice the words, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This was the second part of the message on the kingdom of heaven. We now know and call this the Beatitudes. And we know that the Beatitudes is a series of short sentences explaining what it means to be blessed. In fact, it mentions the word blessed 9 times. If you go to the internet and type the hashtag blessed, it would be interesting to see what you'll find. For the most part, people who say that they're blessed or hashtag blessed know that they don't deserve this. That's why they say, I'm blessed. I don't really deserve this car, this house, this promotion, this salary, and yet I got it, hashtag blessed. And that's true. But the second part of this idea of being blessed in Scripture is the idea of having divine happiness, a kind of happiness that's really not dependent on just material possessions. And that's where the disconnection happens, the wrong understanding of what it means to be blessed under the kingdom of heaven. The disconnection begins when we think that to be blessed is simply to have material abundance. And while Jesus did say that he came to give us life and life more abundantly, he also said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And while we know that we can have great accomplishments and that's a blessing, and Jesus did say that greater things than these you shall accomplish, the fact of the matter is, it's not just promotions and jobs and happy times and that make us blessed. There are times when we will mourn. And Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Further, we also believe that when we have a favorable life or a life where we're healed and we don't have any problems, we think that is what it means to be blessed. And yet Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This idea of having a disconnection can best be understood in a verse in Mark 10, verse 31. But to many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. The point is, the kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom. And that applies to this idea of having divine happiness. Divine happiness is actually having a flipped life. I've entitled this message, Living on the Flip Side. Understanding the kingdom of God, or the upside-down kingdom, is understanding how to live on the flip side. Back in Matthew chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, he began to teach them and he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And there we have how to be blessed. He says to be blessed, you need to be poor in spirit. The idea of being poor in spirit is about humility. Problem with humility is finding it can be tricky. We notice this in a story in Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him and said, teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Just off the bat there, you can already see we have a problem with these two guys demanding that you will do whatever we ask. And they began to ask. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And he asked, they replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other on your left when you come into your glory or your kingdom. They were demanding that the right seats and the left seat will be given to them. Doesn't matter which one the other guy had, just make sure that we're the ones up there. Jesus corrected them and expressed to them that it is not for them to decide, because those things have been elected for others already. Now, it says further that they wanted to know that because they wanted to share the same glory. Now, in chapter 10, verse 41, it was just interesting about this humility and arrogance issue. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Now, many of us are probably not as arrogant or as the way James and John are, but deep down inside, we still have this issue about humility. We may look humble on the outside because humility is really not natural, because the truth of the matter is pride comes more naturally. Because we're taught growing up, I'm so proud of you. And so on the outside, we may look humble, but deep down inside, we may be harboring a real situation of arrogance and pride. We learn early that confidence is rewarded and humility is not. And as such, we have a greater appetite for being proud or confident or living on the outside or on the inside. And it's also very possible that we may look arrogant on the outside, but in deep down inside, we actually are humble. The point is, to be humble is tricky. And that's why Jesus says, not just to be humble, but be poor in spirit. To see yourself poor. You see, it's natural for poor people to be humble. Not all, but it's natural because when you're bankrupt, it is self-correcting. It is easy. And when you're rich, it's probably very hard to see the kingdom of God. I had an interesting phone call a few days ago. A gentleman called me who had just lost his job. And I said, so what's the problem? Well, I don't feel worried or bad. And I'm worried why I don't. I feel condemned that I don't feel worried or bad. And I told him, blessed are those who are in the kingdom. Because the problem with just having abundance and careers and jobs is when you lose them, you no longer feel blessed. When you've learned to live the upside down kingdom, when you understand that you're blessed whether you have these things or not, then your blessing will never go away. Now, further down in verses 4 and 5, Jesus begins to explain this idea. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's interesting listening to this man talk about how he's lost his job, and yet there was comfort, and there was no worry, and there was no loss of a feeling that he's lost his inheritance. Further, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And that's what's happening to this man. It was interesting how he finally told me, you know, I could actually live for a year without a salary because I've kept a lot of money. And he said, I actually want to volunteer and maybe even volunteer for the church. And that's very true about this verse. When we have the true blessing of the kingdom of God, then we're not worried because we inherit things and find opportunities that we didn't even know existed. We begin to inherit the earth. Now, Jesus says, this is how to be blessed. Be poor in spirit, mourn your condition and become meek. And finally, he says in verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This verse has a mirrored verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where it says, seek first his kingdom, or hunger and thirst for his kingdom and his righteousness, and they will be filled. And that's what happened to my friend who called me. His hunger for righteousness was filled. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow or trouble with it. That's the kind of blessing you want. The kind of blessing that is lasting. You get that from the kingdom of God, and the entry point to that is to be poor in spirit, to mourn your condition and thus become meek and inherit the goodness of God, and more importantly, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, because in the end, it shall be filled. The problem with being filled or being blessed is not really just about material things. The problem with being just filled with material things and success is it will inevitably suffocate the real blessing that God has for us. I'm reminded of the Dead Sea. I've been there a number of times, and it's an interesting place. It's beautiful. It's actually a giant lake where there's an inlet of so much resources and life from the rivers entering into it. The problem is there's no outlet. And because there is no outlet to this river, what happens is it stores all of this salt. It's believed that there are billions of tons of salt in this lake. As a result, nothing there lives. Everything is dead. In other words, when all we have is a material blessing of abundance, of success, of promotion, of popularity, everything dies. Because the reality is we are blessed to be a blessing. Jesus said in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself when he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When we understand how this works, it actually looks more like this. Not a dying lake or a river of salt, but a dam. A dam that is so filled with everything that the kingdom of heaven has to offer that we're just a tiny pipe where all of that rushing water is flushing through us. And there's never a time when we're empty because we understand we're living in an upside down supernatural kingdom. The key to that kingdom is to be poor in spirit, to mourn the reality, not just try to be humble, but to mourn the reality of our condition of bankruptcy. And as a result, we become meek, resulting in a hunger and thirst for righteousness and being filled fully. The purpose of all of that is not to be filled, just to be filled, but so that we can be a blessing to others. The Beatitudes continues and explains how to be a blessing. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. To be merciful is to empathize with others. To be merciful is to understand that just as we ourselves are bankrupt and have nothing to offer, thus is the position of others. And if we're merciful towards them, we ourselves will be shown mercy. I had an interesting lesson in mercy, which I learned from my two sons. Now, these are not my two sons, but this picture it reminds me of that situation when I once upon a time, they were misbehaving inside our car. And I got so angry with them that I decided to put them out in the street, obviously to come back to them. But I left them there for a while, older brother holding his younger brother. And I made no issue about it and reminded my son 11 years later about the story. And he told me that during that time, he was so nervous because he thought a lion was coming and this lion was going to eat them. I was so saddened by that situation. He was very angry, explaining to me 11 years later what I have done to him, that I've left him there with a burden. And that for that, I asked for his mercy. I went to him and I said, Joe, will you forgive me? I made a mistake as a father. You know, the way you learn mercy and humility mostly is from family and relationships. It's from other people. And that's the blessing. I remember the story very well because I can't forget the moment when I was kneeling down in front of my child and asking for his forgiveness. He held my face and he said, Pop, I forgive you and I love you. It's a story I can tell you right now because a tragedy and a bad situation has turned to become a blessing. How can you be a blessing? And how to be a blessing? Well, be merciful. Because when you're merciful, you will also be shown mercy. In verse 8, it continues where it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I like this verse because it talks about how to be a blessing to others, not just to be merciful and to empathize with other people, to receive our own mercy from others, but to be pure of heart. You see, our hearts can be full of something. In fact, the Bible warns us, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. In other words, there is no way to hide these things because inevitably what's inside our heart will come out. And thus Jesus warns us and tells us if we're to be blessed, we are to have a pure heart. The Bible further says, a good man brings the good things out of the good stored up in him and an evil man that brings the evil things out of the evil heart that is stored up in him. In short, we become a blessing when we have a pure heart and we walk in the purity of the things of God. This is the upside down kingdom. God wants to fill us so that we can be a blessing to others. And out of the fullness of that heart, we speak words of blessing to the people around us. Further in verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart. And this is the bonus, for they will see God. The bonus of being a blessing to others, the bonus of feeding or filling our hearts with the right things is we will see God. Truth of the matter is, we will see God in various ways. I see God when I'm praying. I see God when I'm reading the Bible. I see God through my wife and children. By the way, most of the time, it's when I talk to people in my relationships. I see God in fellowships, when I fellowship with other pastors or other members of the church. I see God in creation. I see God in the news. I see God in all sorts of ways, because when we're open to a purity of heart, we will see the fullness of God in various ways. So what does it mean to be in the upside-down kingdom, to be blessed? How to be blessed? Be poor in spirit. Mourn your condition and become meek. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the result of that is not only will you be filled and be blessed, you will be a blessing. And how is it to be a blessing? Be merciful. Empathize with others. Be quick to forgive and be pure of heart. Finally, it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. In short, make peace. Make peace, be a peacemaker. Now, I need to explain this a little bit. There's such a thing as peace lovers. Not a coincidence that people who love peace call themselves children of God. But loving peace is one thing, and there's a lot of pronouncements and even people who say world peace. Loving peace is one thing. Keeping peace is another thing. While valid and a responsibility, keeping peace is exactly what it is. Once you stop keeping it, it's gone. And so when you all you have is peace-loving and peace-keeping, it's not enough. Thus, Jesus says, be a peacemaker. Not a peace-lover, not a peacekeeper, but a peacemaker. The only availability or the only possibility of being able to make peace is through the good news of Jesus Christ. Regardless of saying it, no matter what we do, there's always going to be a need to keep peace. There's no point in saying that the peacekeeping forces of the UN are not there to fight. There's a necessity to fight. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it talks about this fight. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. The only way you can have long-lasting peace is not by loving peace, is not by keeping peace, but by proclaiming Jesus, the Prince of Peace. That's the only way lasting peace can come. And that's ultimately the blessing that you want to give to others. Be merciful. Be pure of heart. Be a peacemaker. Finally, how to be blessed forever is the closing moments of the preaching that Jesus gave on the upside-down kingdom. He goes on in verse 10 to say, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Interesting, isn't it? When you're persecuted and you're blessed, and it's interesting where it talks about the kingdom of heaven. It starts out with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this is the second bookend, that when we're persecuted for the kingdom of heaven, we will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, here's the point, right? No matter who you are, rich or poor, successful, famous, you will be persecuted. Whether for race, for gender, for beliefs, for social standing, there will always be persecution. Even Prince Harry and Meghan can be persecuted, which means all of us at some level will experience some kind of persecution. The blessing is not because you're persecuted. The blessing is when you're persecuted because of righteousness. And that's the point. The point is there will be some measure of persecution in your life and in mine. Therefore, the wise thing to do is choose to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And it says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that's the second part of the bookend. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In short, if we are to see a blessing forever, we need to accept persecution for righteousness' sake. Now, Jesus did not end there. While those two were the bookends, he continues to talk about this idea of being blessed when people insult you or persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. He continues to explain that this idea of being persecuted for righteousness is really not about a lifestyle, a social practice, a system, a religion, but a person. Not a way of life, not a set of beliefs, not a value system, but a person named Jesus. If we are to experience to be blessed forever, we need to accept persecution for righteousness' sake, but to understand and realize that righteousness is a person. It's all about the person of Jesus. As he closes, he says, "Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven." The reason why we want to be in the upside-down kingdom is because whether we lose our promotions, our jobs, and even our health at some point, we will know we are blessed. We will not just realize it's about a person. We can rejoice to know great is our reward in heaven. So how is it to be in this upside-down kingdom? Know that in that kingdom, you are to be blessed. And how do I enter that blessing? Be poor in spirit. Mourn your condition and become meek. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, because God wants you to be filled so that you can be a blessing, and that blessing transfers over to others. How do you become a blessing? Be merciful. Empathize with others and recognize the same situation you're in is the same situation they're in. Be pure of heart. Be a peacemaker. Accept the persecution for the sake of righteousness. Rejoice. It's about a person. Rejoice because great is your reward in heaven. Let me close this moment on meditating on the word, on proclaiming the truth of Jesus. Get a piece of bread and a cup as we proclaim Jesus and receive communion. It says, "Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us access to the kingdom of heaven. We receive the blessing that comes from being a part of your kingdom. As a result, may we become a blessing to those around us as we proclaim the good news of your kingdom to others. Help us to know that in this world there will be persecutions. Give us the wisdom to choose to be persecuted for the sake of righteousness, as we willingly take on insults and persecution for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen."
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.